Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Daily Fantasy Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Roberts, and today I'm going to be taking a look at some of the NBA rosters, to look at players that you should be building your fantasy team around, players that you need to be stashing on your fantasy bench, and a few players that you need to cut loose in standard leagues. To help me to do that today, I'm joined by Tyler Watts. Tyler, Daniel and I discussed this yesterday. We're basically at the point in the fantasy season where there aren't going to be a lot of surprises from here on out, or at least that's my expectation. We're roughly 40% of the way through the NBA season, and we have enough games, enough data to this point that we know basically who each player is and how they're going to perform, unless something like a big injury or a big trade happens. And so the idea is, let's go through each of the fantasy teams or each of the NBA teams, look at their roster and identify the players that like are just solid. They're going to keep producing. You're going to want to put them in your starting lineup and keep them there. Players that you might think about stashing if you have the room to do so in case there is an injury or in case there is a trade. Some of the players that we know have big upside at this point, they just aren't getting the minutes. And then some players that, even though you'd maybe drafted them pretty high, they aren't doing so well, and you probably are at the point in the season where you're not waiting for a turnaround anymore. The player is who they are, at least for this season, and it's time to move on and pick up somebody else. So yesterday we went through the Hawks. We talked about the Brooklyn Nets, and today we're going to start with the Celtics and see how far we get. Does that sound all right?
All right, let's do it. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, let's jump out right in with the Celtics. They are an especially wonky team due to Brad Stevens' mad scientist routine there in Boston, where he plays different rotations seemingly every night. But there have been some players getting fairly consistent fantasy minutes there that have put up great production this season. Isaiah Thomas, to this point in the season, has been a top 25 player, basically giving you a second round value. And he's helping you pretty much across the board. He doesn't have the strongest field goal percentage. He's shooting only 42% this season. But other than that, he's giving you 21 points, 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.3 steals, 2 3-pointers, shooting 90% from the free throw line. Obviously no blocks. If you've seen him play, you realize why. He might be like 5'7" or something. But again, besides field goal percentage and blocks, he's really filling up the stat sheets for his owners this season. He's playing a healthy 32 minutes per game. So I think he went roughly, you know, he went outside the top 50 picks in ESPN leagues and Yahoo leagues. Like I said, he's been a top 25 player this season. So I'm sure all of his owners are thrilled with him so far. Don't you think, Tyler?
Yeah, I would have to say that all of his owners are ecstatic. I mean, he is ranked 19th in your 8 category rest of season roto rankings, Mark. Yeah. How's that make you feel?
I think that's right. I mean, like I said, he's been a top 25 value thus far this season. He's quite durable in his NBA career. So you don't have a lot of injury concerns, and really he's filling up the stat sheet. I think, you know, field goal free throw percentage is one of the most difficult categories to move up or down. And I think he's one of the guys that actually moves the needle in that category. Just because he gets the line so often and he shoots such a high percentage. So, no, I mean, I can't imagine a format or a punt strategy where you wouldn't want this guy on your team and you don't want to have him in your starting lineup. And I don't see, I mean, I know you can make the case that because Marcus Smart was out, he was getting more playing time, but you know, we know that Avery Bradley recently went down with an injury and is expected to be out for a little while. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a chance that Isaiah Thomas isn't a top 20 player the rest of the way, but I don't think there's any chance that he's not at least a top 50 player in this Boston rotation. I think he's a starter in basically every format, every punt strategy. He's a solid producer. I think he's as close to minutes proof or rotation proof as it gets.
I think that the team needs him so much just for a scoring punch too. That I mean, I think he's going to get the 30 to 32 minutes a game no matter what.
Yeah. The other guy that has been a very solid value, and I think is maybe been his production has been surprising to people, is Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder is he's a top 45 player, top 50 player to this point in the season in 8 category rankings. He's averaged, again, a healthy dose of minutes, 32 minutes per game. He's getting you 14 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, almost 2 steals, almost 2 three-pointers. That combination of almost 2 three-pointers and almost 2 steals is pretty remarkable. And then you get you a half a block a game to go along with 45% field goal percentage and 83% free throw percentage. So he's basically pretty solid in a lot of categories, and then he's very good in three-pointers and elite in steals. So that's caused him to be a top 50 player to this point in the season. And I think, again, you know, if you happen to be punting three-pointers and steals, I guess he's not a must-start player. But other than that specific punt strategy, I think he's another guy that you want to – and he's actually only owned in 80% of Yahoo League. So another guy that you want to lock into your starting lineup who may not even be owned in every league. And even if he's owned, I think could be available for trade at a pretty steep discount just because people don't realize how good he's been.
I think you hit the nail on the head right there. I mean, I'm thinking this guy's probably, he's ranked 37th in your 8 category rest of the season roto rankings. I'm thinking he's probably at least a top 50 player the rest of the season. And I don't see most people valuing him as that. I'm thinking you could probably trade for offer a player like right around 100. You know, you might have to go up clear to like a top 75 player on your team, try to get Jay Crowder back. And I think you can make that deal in almost every case.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately for the Celtics, that's kind of where the steady production stops. I mean, they have a lot of interesting fantasy producers, and maybe we would have said Avery Bradley was in that group before he went down with his hip injury that is going to keep him out for an unknown amount of time. He's actually had a pretty solid season so far. He's averaged 15 points, 2 three-pointers, 1.5 steals, 2.4 rebounds, 1.8 assists in 31 minutes per game. But I feel like his stat line is maybe more influenced by Marcus Smart being out than Isaiah Thomas. So I sort of expected that to regress even if he wasn't injured. And now with the injury, I don't think he's I kind of feel like I only really want to target him in standard leagues if Marcus Smart isn't playing.
I'd agree with that. And I mean, I think with this hip injury now, like if you own him in any kind of 10 or 12 team standard league, I think you got to cut him and move on, because they've been really vague about this injury, but basically all they'll say is there's no timetable for him to return. So, yeah. I mean, that could be a week, that could be a month, that could be 2 months. I mean,
yep. So I think his best stretch of games, unless Marcus Smart gets hurt, is probably behind him. We don't know how long the injury is going to take. I think you go ahead and drop him. And if he plays well again later in the season, you'll probably be able to pick him back up. I mean, really all you're looking for there is he's sort of like a Jay Crowder player in that it's a lot of threes and steals. But Jay Crowder is a much better option. And then we get into the big guys. Are there any of these big guys that you feel like, because certainly Boston is a candidate to make a move at the trade deadline. Hold on. I guess I want to back up here. Is there anybody else that you feel like you for sure want to be on your team, you want to build around in Boston, or is it just Thomas and Crowder?
For me, it's just Thomas and Crowder in any kind of
state. Like, you agree Crowder's in that group?
Oh yeah, I think Crowder the rest of the year is a top like 50, right around 50 player.
Okay, so we're in agreement there. Are there any guys, you know, as you think about Boston maybe making a trade at the deadline, are there any of these guys that you're like, if this guy just got some playing time, he could move up into that group with Thomas or Crowder, like, you know, Sullinger or Amir Johnson or Kelly Olynyk or even Marcus Smart or Evan Turner, David Lee maybe. Are there any of those guys that are interesting enough to you that you would pick up and stash if you could in hopes that an opportunity arises where they would produce for you?
Well, I think that, I mean, we've seen in the past that Jared Solinger, if he gets, you know, 27 to 30 minutes, he can be kind of useful. I mean, he always, you know, he's kind of a threes, you know, maybe a steal, like, you know, some decent rebounds. He even averaged 2.3 assists this year and last season. So, I mean, I think that he could be valuable in the right kind of situation if he got the big minutes. But the hard part is he going to get him?
Yeah, no question. And I'm not sure any of these guys are talented enough that they I think part of the problem that's going on in Boston is, from a fantasy perspective, is Brad Stevens. Now, I think Stevens is one of the best coaches in the NBA, but his rotations aren't set, which makes it hard for you to find reliable fantasy players. So I think he is part of the problem, but I also think part of the problem is that none of these guys are really starter level players. Like, they're very good, serviceable. It's like they have four third big guys. Like, if you had two good big guys and you could add one of these guys as your third big guy, that would be great. And so they definitely deserve to play, but none of them are good enough to be your first or second big guy on a good team. The one guy that's always interested me, just because he does produce at such a good fantasy level per minute and per possession, is Kelly Olynyk. Again, I don't know if he's a talented enough player to really get 30 minutes a game, but like, if you look at his per 36 minute stat line this season, he's averaging 17 points, 7.5 rebounds, almost two steals, one block, and 2 3-pointers. I mean, that's serious fantasy value if you could get anything close to that from Olynyk. But I don't think there's any of these guys that I'm stashing in hopes that they get a bigger role. I feel like if Boston makes a trade, like if the player remains on Boston, either Solinger or Olynyk or even Amir Johnson, if they remain on the Celtics, I don't know that they're going to get any more playing time than they are now. And if they are sent away in a trade, again, I don't think any team's building their roster around any of these guys. I think they're just serviceable backups in most cases.
I mean, I definitely agree with that. I mean, Kelly Olynyk is the ultimate fantasy tease to me. He'll always like have a good game where he gets big minutes and I'll pick him up, and then it'll like the next game he'll get like 10 and I'll just be disappointed and then I'll drop him again.
Yeah. The other guy that I would mention, and I think he's only really relevant in standard leagues while Avery Bradley is out, because I think his minutes will be up a little bit, is Evan Turner. And we've seen the last couple of games, he's gotten over 36 minutes the last two games. He's still not going to score a ton for you. He's only scored 12 points in each of those games, but he's getting heavy rebounds. He has 18 rebounds in those two games. He has 6 total assists. We know that he's capable of even getting more assists. If he gets a role where he can handle the ball, he can put up enough rebounds and assists to be pretty relevant, even in a standard league. And I don't think that's going to last as long as Bradley's out, but if you're looking for a short-term guy to fill in for Bradley, I think he's a pretty good option.
That last half season he played in Philadelphia was it was great to watch him. I will say that.
Yeah. Is there anybody else that you want to talk about on this roster? Is there, I guess the last thing we need to look at, is there anybody that needs to be dropped that's owned by most people?
You want to talk about Marcus Smart?
Yeah, let's talk about Marcus Smart.
Marcus Smart is always a very interesting guy to me. I think he's a great defender, which like I think a lot of times leads him to get some minutes.
By the way, he had one of the coolest plays I've ever seen on Monday's Night of Action. So I can't remember who it was. It was the Nets point guard. I think it was Shane Larkin, but I guess it could have been Sloan. I can't remember. But anyway, they were rolling. You know how sometimes they roll up the ball so they don't have to start the shot clock?
Mm-hmm.
He was rolling the ball up, and Marcus Smart was getting ready to defend, and all of a sudden Marcus Smart pounced and just tackled the ball, and he stole it from him.
I feel like Marcus Smart is a bulldog.
It was amazing. It was really, really cool. So, I agree with you. He might be the best defensive guard in the NBA. Not that necessarily translates to fantasy basketball goodness, but he's a lot of fun to watch. Like, he's one of the only players that I'll watch, like, just turn on the game and watch for defensive purposes.
I think too that, like, I mean, he's a guy that you kind of like want, you know, like, I don't know that he's maybe the greatest like pass first point guard, but as like just a defending guard, like, I mean, you think you'd want him on your team just to like take on like someone like a great point guard in the playoffs. I mean, take your pick. There's so many in the league now.
Right. Now the deal with Marcus Smart is there might not be a worse combination of field goal percentage and free throw percentage in the NBA. This season, he's shooting 34.5% field goal percentage and 69% free throw percentage. That's a tough pill to swallow if you care at all about percentages. If you follow our recommended head-to-head punt strategy, which is basically to ignore the percentages and the turnovers, he can have some pretty good value. You know, even though he's only played 26 minutes per game this season, he's getting you 3.5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.6 steals, almost a 3-pointer per game, and 9 points per game. So, you know, definitely not elite production. But if he jumped up to 30 minutes per game, which you have to think that that's close to where they would want to target him, and he can bump up his 3-pointers to where they were last season, he could get you a 1.5 3-pointers and 2 steals per game to go along with like 10 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists. And that would be pretty valuable, again, in that head-to-head format where you're not worrying about percentages. He's a tough guy to own if you care at all about field goal percentage and free throw percentage, though.
I feel like if he could just, like, keep working on his game, though, and get those percentages up, he may be a big-time contributor at some point.
No, I totally agree. I think for now, for the rest of this season, though, he's a stream option. He's a guy that you pick up if you're trying to grab a bunch of steals or 3-pointers, or even maybe if you're desperate for assists. And you stream him for a week, or you stream him for 2 weeks or a couple of days, or however long you need him. But I don't think he's a guy that you need to definitely hold onto your roster.
I definitely agree with that. Yeah, for the rest of this season, I'm 100% behind you.
All right, anybody else we should be talking about here that we're forgetting? They got a lot of interesting players on the roster.
You own David Lee, please get rid of him.
Yeah, there's a good one. So he's owned in 37% of ESPN leagues. He's only playing 15 minutes a night, 7 points, 4 rebounds. Again, we're kind of at the point in the season where this isn't likely to turn around unless something that we can't predict is going to happen, like unless Jared Solinger and Amir Johnson go down and they're just forced to play David Lee big minutes. I don't see how that's going to change.
Even if he gets the big minutes, though, I mean, what categories is he really going to produce in now?
I mean, yeah, and that's a fair point. I mean, even when he was a big-time player for the Knicks and then for the Warriors, it's not like he ever ranked super high in any one season. I think probably his best season was 2012, 2013 when he played 37 minutes a night for Golden State. He averaged 18 points, 11 rebounds. He didn't help you at all in the steals, blocks, or 3-pointers category, but he was good enough in the field goal percentage category and the free throw percentage categories that, like, in a roto league, he was pretty valuable. Head to head, he was less probably useful. But no, that's a good point. He doesn't do a ton of things. Right, it's just really the points and rebounds that he has the potential, I think, to help you with.
And that's, I guess, my point is, like, if you're stashing him hoping like, okay, well, maybe someone gets hurt and he gets a lot of minutes. It's like, well, you know, unless you really need points and really need rebounds, they're basically the only two categories. I think he's going to give you a big boost in, even if he gets big minutes. So yeah, try to find someone with more upside, I guess, would be my point.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. He's not even getting those marks per 36 minutes this season. I don't think he's that player anymore, at least not in this offense. So, yeah, I think you're good. If you're waiting for the David Lee turnaround, I think the time has passed. Amir Johnson is probably not an exciting player to own, but I think he's kind of in the Marcus Smart category where he's a serviceable stream option if you need rebounds or blocks. I don't think we're going to get to the point of the season where he's averaging enough minutes that he's getting you the points and rebounds that you need to hold on to. But I think he's a serviceable stream option.
Yeah, especially like, you know, at the end of a week, if you need some blocks, I mean, he's a good bet to get a block in a game. If you need a block.
Yep, absolutely. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the Charlotte Hornets. I'm mostly just glad I can say Charlotte Hornets now instead of Charlotte Bobcats.
that tricks me every once in a while. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Jumping in with the Charlotte Hornets. All right. I mean, the players, they're a little bit like the Celtics here. They've got a couple of players who have been really, really pretty excellent this season in Kemba Walker and Nicholas Batum. Have given you a lot of value. They've both been top 30 players so far this season, which may surprise people.
You planned this, didn't you? He's ranked 18th in your rankings, one spot ahead of Isaiah Thomas. You planned this.
We're just going alphabetically here. So are you talking about Kemba Walker?
Yeah, Kemba Walker's ranked 18th in your eight category rest of season roto rankings.
And he's not an entirely different player than Isaiah Thomas is, really. He's averaging in 35 minutes per game. So a few more minutes, he's getting 19 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.8 steals, 0.7 blocks, which is pretty impressive. That might be the place where he differs from Isaiah Thomas. He gets you 1.6 three-pointers, shoots 44% from the field, which is a huge step up for him, and then 85% from the free throw line. It's been a great season so far this season, you know, and I think if we were 10 games in, you would say, the field goal percentage is going to regress and he's going to shoot worse. He's not going to score this many points, but again, he's played 33 games. Like, I think it's more likely than not that he's turned a corner and he's going to shoot 43, 44% for the rest of the season.
Well, I mean, I think we talked about this another podcast when we talked about Kemba Walker. I mean, even if you look at your rankings, you regressed him to 42.6% and he's still ranked 18th.
Right.
I mean, so I think that this is another guy you could probably get in a trade for somewhere like around top 40, top 50 player. You could probably give up and get this guy and get some good value for yourself just because I think people still think of him as that. Oh, he shoots 38%, and then that category is going to regress. And
yeah,
I just don't think that's happening now.
Well, and because some of his value comes, like, he's a point guard, but he's only averaging 5 assists, right? So that doesn't look great. But I think it's easy to forget that 4.2 rebounds from a point guard is awesome, and the steals are really great. But also, the 0.7 blocks from your point guard is a big deal. If your point guard is going to get 3 blocks in a week, I mean, we say this all the time. How many blocks do you really need? Like 20, 25 blocks in a week. And if you beat the other point guard 3-0, that's a big time advantage. And he's always done. I mean, that's not a this year thing only. He's always been pretty good at block shots. He has a knack for it. So
he averages as many block shots as Chris Bosh. Can you believe that?
It's kind of crazy. So I, there's no format where you're not playing Kemba Walker. You're not owning him. I think he's a top 25 player the rest of the way. Their other player that's sort of on the fringe of the top 25 and has been a big boon for people this season. He was drafted 63rd overall on Yahoo in Yahoo leagues this season and 42nd in ESPN leagues is Nicholas Batum. He's had a real bounce back season in Charlotte, averaging 16 points, 6.5 rebounds, 5.2 assists, 1.1 steal, 0.5 blocks, 2.2 three-pointers on 43% shooting and 85% from the line. So back to like the Nicholas Batum of a few years ago in Portland before he had that big wrist injury, it seems like. He's basically the primary ball handler or co-primary ball handler with Kemba Walker. So those assists are super valuable and he doesn't really hurt you anywhere in any specific category.
I feel like he's a guy who is just so specific, like for what he does at his position that like he's hard to give up if you own him. And if you drafted him, good on you because you're getting a lot of great value for where you picked him.
So I think those are the easy guys to feel like are going to be solid producers for you for the rest of the season. And probably the guy that's disappointing on the Hornets that we need to talk about whether to drop or not is Al Jefferson. We know he's dealt with a couple of injuries. Right now he's got a knee injury. He's not expected to be back until maybe the middle of February. He dealt with a suspension for drug usage. And that's all those are just the things that are sort of covering up the fact that he's only playing 25 minutes per game this season. He's played 25 minutes per game. He's averaging 12 and a half points and 6 rebounds to go along with 1 block per game, shooting 48% from the field and 57% from the free throw line. So I think there might be some of you out there, I mean, he's owned in 80% of Yahoo leagues. So clearly there's a lot of people out there that are saying, you know, Al Jefferson is a big time fantasy player. He went in the top 50, 60 of fantasy drafts. He got off to a rough start this season, but we know what kind of fantasy producer he can be. So I'm going to stash him and hope that he comes back in time for my playoffs and that he helps me win my league. But if he's going to come back and just give you 12 points and 6 rebounds with not much else, I think there's going to be a lot of people who stash him for a long time and are pretty disappointed with what they get in return. Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
I definitely agree with that. I'm definitely, if I owned Al Jefferson, dropping him. I mean, I think from 2 years ago to last year, we saw a drop off in production. We've seen another drop off this year. Granted, it's only been 19 games. And I mean, now you're talking, he's out for 6 weeks. I mean, that's a long time to hold on to somebody for, like you're saying, 6 rebounds and 12 and a half points. I think this is a guy you just got to get rid of and look for someone else.
And I get the idea, like, okay, I'm an injury spot, but a lot of times there's a better player that you can put in your injury spot. Like, I just don't know that Al Jefferson's somebody that you want to own when he gets back anyway. So what's the point of hanging on to him? And again, he's owned in 80% of ESPN leagues. I think that Charlotte, it's pretty well documented. They're just playing a different brand of basketball this season, and they're not going to emphasize the post-ups like they used to. I think the days of Al Jefferson getting you close to 20 points and 10 rebounds. I mean, we're not too far removed from the day when he averaged, you know, 2 seasons ago when he averaged 22 points and 11 rebounds. But I just don't think those are coming back anytime soon.
I completely agree with that.
I think you can basically get similar production from him from Cody Zeller right now. Like Cody Zeller, the last couple of weeks, last 6 games, he's averaged 11 points, 7.5 rebounds with 1.2 steals and 1.3 blocks per game. It's not outstanding production, but I don't think Al Jefferson is going to do any better than that. And he's hurt. So, all right, let's, is there anybody else that you feel like on this team is worth definitely owning and starting in most fantasy lineups besides Walker and Batum, or do you think that's the list?
I think that's probably the list. I mean, like you're saying, you can pick up and stream Cody Zeller. You know, he's producing some decent stats right now, but I mean, on any given night, they could decide to go small and play someone else.
Yeah. I think the worry there with Zeller is once Al Jefferson gets back, that they're neither of them are very valuable. So you're kind of putting in Zeller. And again, 11 points and 8 rebounds. The steals and blocks make it a little more interesting, and he shoots such a high field goal percentage. He's shooting 61% over that time. So those things all together kind of make him an interesting player. But I think just as a stream option, just somebody to pick up and put in for a little while and then to feel free to drop if he starts to not produce for you. And that's basically, I feel like the same thing can be said for a lot of the players on their team. Like there aren't a lot of high ceilings on this team as far as fantasy value. Like I don't feel like there's anybody if you're just saying, oh, if they only got 28 to 30 minutes, they'd be a top 50 or 60 player. Like Marvin Williams is a serviceable fantasy option if you're looking for, you know, rebounds and 3-pointers and steals and blocks. Jeremy Lin is sort of serviceable if you're looking for assists and 3-pointers.
He's a guy I scream in a lot of my leagues at the end of a week just to get some assists. He's decent in rebounds as well. I mean, he gets you. He's actually averaging 0.8 blocks this year, which that's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, kind of surprising. That's true. What's up with those Charlotte guards and blocking all those shots?
They must have an assistant coach who knows a secret here.
He needs to teach it to the big guys. Frank Kaminsky's only averaging 0.6 blocks. Yeah, so I don't know. Like, all of those guys are sort of useful, but not in the way that you would want to make sure they're on your roster and keep them on your roster, but just as guys to fill in when you need them. Like, when they're playing back-to-backs, you could play them both nights of the back-to-back and pick up an extra game. Or if you're targeting specific categories, go ahead and pick them up.
And Jeremy Lin has great hair, so, I mean, come on. You got to pick him up for that.
There you go. Is there anybody that you do feel like has sort of big upside on this team that if a move was made that you would want to target that player and make sure that you're on your roster if minutes opened up for him?
I can't honestly say that there is.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremy Lamb is probably the closest thing to that player. Like, per 36 minutes, he's averaging 18 points this season, 7 rebounds. 2 3-pointers and a steal per game and almost a block per game. Shoots a pretty efficient 46% from the field. You know, he's not going to go anywhere that he gets 36 minutes per game. Like, I think probably 30 to 32 minutes per game. Like, if he got dealt to Philadelphia or something, maybe that's in play, but I think that's sort of unlikely. And I also think that production isn't so great that you have to own it. But yeah, I don't know that anybody else on the team has a high enough upside. I guess you could argue maybe Frank Kaminsky, but I don't think there's any way they're trading him. I mean, it's certainly possible they could open up some playing time with him, but I see that more as a split between Zeller and Kaminsky than anything else. And his per 36 minutes numbers aren't great. He's averaging 13.6 rebounds, 1.5 3-pointers, and 1.3 blocks on 40% from the field. So, you know, even if you could reach those marks, I'm not sure that's something that you really want to own in a standard league.
I completely agree with everything you said there.
Is there anybody else on the roster we should make sure we hit on before we wrap up here?
Not really. I guess that they're hoping for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist to come back next year and be their small forward. That they need it. They're in need.
Yeah, that hasn't changed, right? He's still out for the. Is he coming back this season or not? I can't remember.
No, he is out for the year.
Yeah. He's certainly an interesting, kind of a low ceiling fantasy option too. But I've definitely streamed him certain weeks, and he's helped me win. So he has fantasy value as well. All right. Tyler, I think that's all that we have time for today is Boston and Charlotte there. Is there anything you want to plug before we end the show today?
Well, you can check out my new article on the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com. I reached out to people on Twitter for this one, so you can hear what the people want to hear about this week.
Who is the player that you got asked about the most?
The player I got asked about the most was TJ Warren.
Okay, so there you go. If you want to know what to do with TJ Moore in the rest of the season, go check out this article that Tyler wrote. It's on the dailyfantasybasketballpodcast.com. Anything else you want to cover before we wrap up here?
No, I think that's about it. You can follow me on Twitter at Watsy4444. If you got any questions, feel free to hit me up on there.
All right. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed the show. If you did, don't forget to rate and review the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen. Hit subscribe, grab your friend's phone if they're not looking and rate and review the podcast from their phone and hit subscribe too.
Invite your mom over for dinner. Do it on her phone.
There you go. And tomorrow we'll be back with some more, looking at some more teams and the players on their rosters and what we've learned to this point in the season. Until then, hopefully you enjoy some basketball and have a good day. Thanks a lot for listening.